If you read a scripture, if you're honest and say, God, I'm going to read this Bible, whatever you don't want me to do, whatever you want, I'll find out, I'll read the scripture and begin to do it right away. I'll whatever I find, what you will, I'm going to do it. And so some of us did just that in the morning. When we first got born again, I started reading the Bible and I found out that God wants me to go to church. So I went to church. But I didn't know what church to go to, so I just went to a church and I figured out, okay, they spoke in tongues, so I'll go there. And I went there. But I was trying. Then I said, okay, God, I've got financial problems here. I'm going to lay down, I'm going to kneel down here and pray, and I want you to show me how to get out of this financial mess that I created for myself when I was out there using. I owe lots of money, credit cards. I owe department stores and different things. Government, I owe government money. So, I got a job here. Even this tithing business, if I give you a tithe, I still wouldn't even have enough to pay my debt. So I'm gonna give you 10%. If the judge tells me, why aren't you giving enough money here, I'll just say, I'm giving to God. And God's word says, if you could throw me in jail if you want, because I'm going to obey God. But anyway, that's where I went to. I remember listening to Gloria Copeland. He said, I'd rather not eat than to go and spend my tithe on myself. I started listening to people like that. I said, it's pretty drastic. Not eat. Man, I just walked through that chicken stand, man. Temptation. So we find out, first of all, the major plan by reading the Bible. Now the question is, you don't have to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. How many of you are reading the Bible every year? Every single year. Because if you're not doing that, you're missing out, finding out the general will of God for your life. And stop asking people what's in it. Read it yourself. No one's smiling at me, so I must be hitting a chord. So anyway. Now let's go to the specific will. The specific will of God, we have to get that by fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. He knows every detail. Holy Spirit, we have to understand who He is, how He speaks to us, when He speaks to us, what His voice sounds like. You know, if our spirit is condemning us, is that the Holy Spirit or is it my spirit? Some people think, I feel really condemned. Holy Spirit will never condemn you. You know what condemns you? Your own spirit. Your own inner man that's born again will tell you something's wrong on the inside. If you're honest, you will feel uneasy inside there and say, you know, this is something wrong here. And he'll tell you. And so we have to fellowship with the Spirit that God put in us. So through constant prayer, talking to the Spirit of God, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, God will give you details for your life. He'll show you, specifically catered for you. But if you don't do this, you'll continually walk in the permissive will of God. And in the permissive will of God, you can get into a lot of trouble. Now, you're not going against God, but you're kind of like, you know, they're like a sitting duck for the enemy. Just doing whatever you want to do. There's the perfect will of God, and the perfect will of God, the devil cannot get to you. He cannot get to you. He's looking at you. He's right there, but he can't get to you. Amen. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my God, my rock, my salvation. And whom shall I fear? And you'll understand Psalm 91. A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it wouldn't come near you. Only with your own eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you're with the shepherd and in his perfect will, you're not going to want a whole lot of things. He's here to lead, to guide, to amplify. It says in verse 1, Psalm 23, he will lead, guide, and feed you. That means every supply you need will be met. Your car payment will be there. If you eat your car payment, then it's not God's fault. Your rent or whatever it is, you have to you keep. If you take that money and you spend foolishly, then whose fault is it? It's not the devil's fault. It's not God. It's you. Be responsible. Stop blaming the devil for what you're doing.
Amen.
And quit giving the devil a lot of power in your life by blaming him for something that you're doing. So we look at that. We look at this, you know, we and then if you look at it from your eyes, you think, oh, look at the devil, he's so powerful. He can just come in here, slap me around in my bed, in my couch, wake me up at night, throw my covers on the floor, and he'll kick me, tells me he's gonna kill me, assaults me, and then goes and eats in my kitchen. Ties up my wife, kicks my kid around. I mean, you know, like, you know, ooh, look at the devil. But first of all, we let him in sometimes. There you are sitting, watching the hockey game, eating chips, and he's sitting right there with you. Ah. Right? And then there's a service coming on over here. Well, enjoy life, but that could be the case, maybe not. If not, then maybe you need to look at it. Okay, so God has different things, you know, for us. He has details for every one of our lives. For instance, if God didn't want us to marry a certain person, say, for instance, in this church we have, you know, four guys want to marry one woman. Well, who's that person supposed to marry? He can't marry all of them, and they all say, oh, she's for me. Right? And everybody wants that one job that one job there in the office. Everybody wants that one job, and they're all vying for that one job. And then that person, somebody got the job. Now you're mad because you thought it was your job. Now you're holding a resentment. In fact, God didn't want you in that office in the first place. I'm just trying to play the devil's advocate in some way, you know, to help you think, you know. And then you get mad because, first of all, are you supposed to be in that office? You should, you know, like, question yourself. Am I actually in the right place? You know, so in the general will of God, God wants everybody to have a job. He wants us to earn a living. It's in the scriptures. In the New Testament, God wants everybody to have a job, work, to labor. But what kind of job should I have? Well, sometimes, you know, God does give us a choice in some areas. For some people, he will say no to you. He'll say, you need to go over here. I want you here. I don't want you to go and do this. Say, for instance, for myself, my wife, God told us, this occupation, working in the world, is not for you. You need to go work in the church. So that's what we did. It sure didn't look like God's will, even still today at times. Especially when I want a big motorboat and go fishing on Sunday. Well, it's coming. It's coming. So, God wants all of us to be healthy. And yet some are not healthy. Some people don't have any money, yet God wants everyone to have money. God wants us to not to be lonely, and yet there's people lonely. Even in marriages. If you think out there, I want to tell you guys who are married right now, if you think you're going to get married and it'll all be over, you'll never be lonely again, you got something coming to you. You know what? seriously, if you know, I don't get lonely with my wife because she tells me. You know, start thinking about it. I don't get lonely ever because we do have a dog now. A dog's a man's best friend. I get lonely when I have to watch the hockey games by myself. Go to the ball game and come back to the baseball game. But anyway, God wants all of us to have victory in life. Yeah. And yet people are going from one defeat to another defeat. Why is that? There's a reason for it. And God wants us to have happy marriages, and yet there's some people that are not happy in their marriage. So there's questions that we need to ask ourselves. And so I'm trying to research with you guys this morning to figure these things out, you know. So God's will, His perfect will, His idea in your life is found in the Scriptures. Whatever the calling is in your life, whatever He wants you to do, there's a place for you, there's a right job, career for you, there's activities, your involvement in life is all God wants to lead you to it. So God has a design, He has designed this thing, He has a purpose for it, a reason for it, and He's made this determination for us even before we were born. God has already made the plan already. He's already said, this is what I want my child to do. I've known other people that said, you know, Jesus spoke to them and said, you know, I didn't, first of all, you know, you were pastoring for those many years. I didn't really want you to pastor. That's not, you know, you're doing something for me, but that's not what I want you to do. And there's people, Brother Hagin told us, and other, we've seen this, that people, Jesus said to him, and one of those things, there's many ministers, many of my ministers, he said, who have never been in my perfect will, have died early because they have never been in my will. But they were ministers. So, you know, we need to find the will, the will of God. So when bad things happen, who's responsible? As we said, is God doing that? Is the devil? What's going on? Did I do that? Here's what Jesus said, John 10:10. He says the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. So is any stealing going on, any robbing going on, any killing going on, any destruction? He said that's all the devil's doing that. He's doing all that stuff. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. Here's the New Living says the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So we should all seek for a rich and satisfying life. If you're not satisfied right now, ask yourself, why am I not satisfied? Am I just through being, is it simply just an ungrateful heart? Or am I just not supposed to be, am I not in the right place? Jesus came to undo the works of the devil, he says. And the Amplified in John 3:8, he says the reason the Son of God was made manifest was to destroy, undo the work, or destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works of the devil. So he came that he would loose you from all the stuff that's going on when we're in his will. If there's any destruction, killing, pain, and all that stuff going on, it's not God. In reference to our health, in our good health, Peter said, the Apostle Peter, Luke is writing Book of Acts, but he's quoting with the preaching of Peter. Peter's preaching, he said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who knew about doing good. God is about, you know, the scripture says, God is good. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. So oppression is not of God. If you're oppressed this morning and feel low, well, that's not really of God. There's something going on there. If it's a physical thing, let's get that fixed up, get you some medicine, pray for you, and believe God to get healed. Or if you can receive right away, let's receive right away. So there's evil influences going on in life. The enemy can get a hold of people, get them off track, and really get them into disobedience. Because he'll show you things, you know what, hey, you know, you could have had this. You shouldn't have done that, you could have had that. If you just take a shortcut here, you could get this. He's really pulling you in. The devil works behind activities and just gets into man's steps and get him off course. Get him off course just a little bit at a time. Then finally, he's way over here off course. Here's what 2 Timothy 2:25, 26, the New Living Translation says. Telling a pastor this to the people of God in the church there. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change people's hearts. They will learn the truth. They will come to their senses and escape the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. So, God's word tells us that there's some Christians that got a hold of some Christians, the devil got a hold of some Christians, and they're doing the devil's work. Don't believe me? Look at the scriptures. They don't know. If you don't know the will of God, how could you not know? If you don't know the will of God, how could you not know you're being deceived? It's the word of God, the truth. John 17:17 says the truth gives you that revelation. The truth is God's word is true. Was it John chapter 8:40 something there? It says that God's word is truth, and the truth will set you free. So ask yourself, am I being deceived in some area through my senses? Because I'm basically, if you're honest, sometimes we get selfish about things. We want the quick and easy way. So there are some people need to come to their senses there, according to the scripture. Jesus said, Peter, the apostle Peter himself, now he wrote Acts, he was speaking in Acts 10:38, but Jesus said Peter was influenced by Satan himself. He's an apostle there, over there. He's being trained. Jesus turned around, looked at his disciples. This is Mark 8:33. He reprimanded Peter. Get away from me, Satan, he said. You are seeking the things merely from human point of view, not from God's point of view. So, right then you see here, there's two perspectives. Human point of view can't see God. They try to determine God's will in their own mind. We have to use our mind to figure out what the will of God is, not in our own mind without the will of God. So if you're trying to figure out the will of God with your own mind, not using the word of God, you're not going to find it. Because it'll make sense to you, all right, because you're viewing things from a human standpoint. So, Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:13, he said, but I fear somehow your pure, undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. So, there's a concern here. I believe God's Spirit is concerned. He has a concern. God Bible says he's concerned for us. What's the scripture? Psalm 38:8. God will take care of everything in your life that concerns you. He's going to, if you give yourself over to God, whatever you're concerned about, he's going to take care of that. So in this scripture, he says that Eve was deceived. What does deceived mean? What does deceived mean besides his description? Deceived, lied to. Tricked? What else? Fooled? I know you're going to college. I'm glad you went to college. I'm glad. That's good. He's got it. Because, you know, you could get fooled. How could you be so foolish, some people say? How could you be so foolish? And yet, you know, aren't you a Christian? Yeah, apparently I'm not informed enough. But anyway, so here's what he says, you know. He's telling the Corinthians, you know, just like Eve was, you Corinthians can be deceived and be foolish by the cunning ways of the serpent, and the serpent is the devil. Like, he's got ways. He knows exactly how to pull your cords and how to push you and making decisions. He's watching you all the time and how to get you back off course. He just put the same buttons again. I know how to get that person mad. I'll make her think that she's mad at him over here or her, that they're talking about her, and let's just have something happen here so that it'll confirm it in your mind. Oh, yeah. You know, so you see what happens, you know, people try to figure out God by just in their own mind. So Satan has power, evidently, to influence people and the world around us. The scripture says in 1 John 5:19-20, here, we know that we are the children of God and that the whole world around us is under the control of the evil one. The whole world. You mean to say the whole world is controlled? You know, like, it's hard to believe, eh, in your own mind. You mean this whole world is being controlled by the evil one? Well, God, he's the God of this world. It says in this scripture, 1 John 5:19-20, that the whole world is under the sway or influence and control of the evil one. If you're going to live in this world without the will of God, without understanding the will of God, you'll just come under the same sway. Do the same thing. Feel the same way about the devil. Feel the same way about hell. Feel the same way about sin. Feel the same way about serving God. Feel the same way about going. You just feel the same way. Everybody else says, we don't need to go to church. Let's have some fun. Let's go for a picnic today. We don't want to sit in that stuffy church. Listen to Pastor Roma. Well, watch him online when we can chat. He's online, isn't he? Oh, yeah. So, you know, You have this, so we need to know God's will. Now, Jeremiah 29 says, we all need to know the will of God for our lives, and there is a perfect will for every one of us. The prophet Jeremiah said, made it plain for all of us. He said this, I know the plan I have for you. So God has a plan for you. I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord. Their plans are good, not for disaster or evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11, New Living. So God has a future. God has hope. Okay, maybe right now you don't. You got lots of hope right now. I'm going to tell you, one day you're going to feel that you don't have any hope in some area. And you can always go back to the scripture and say, there's always hope. With God, there's always hope. There's always the future. There's always tomorrow. Tomorrow. I might not be doing good today, but tomorrow I'm hoping for a better day. I'm expecting this to change for my good for tomorrow. Nothing ever happens in the perfect will of God that will be evil in your life. Nothing happens in the perfect will of God that's going to be evil, destructive, death for in your life. Here's what Ephesians 2:10 says. Paul said this to the church at Ephesus. For we are God's masterpiece, New Living says. We are God's masterpiece. Look at your neighbor. Look at God's masterpiece. Right? See? He has created us anew in Christ. See? You might not be that good looking right now, okay, but God is doing a construction in your life. You know, some of you said, I'm under construction. You mean that's why you smell that bad? You know? I'm just joking because, you know, if you didn't wash, I'm sorry this morning. But here's the thing about it, that we're all under construction. But it says in there, God created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do, so he's creating, recreated you so that you can do good things he has planned for you a long time ago. So God had a plan. Did he have a plan? Yes, he got a plan. According to the scripture, God had a plan. He's got a plan for you. So don't give up. I mean, your life might have been in a bad shape, but don't you give up. Don't give up on it. Because sometimes when we've created our own world and we try to save that world by, you know, we think, oh, well, I did a good job and look at what I did. You know, I got this job. You know, I had this relationship. Well, maybe, you know, like, hey, why did it dissolve? Maybe you need to think, take a good look at it. Let's read the Amplified on that one. I like the Amplified. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art. Call yourself, I am a work of art. Amen. Created in Christ Jesus, born from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used. Everybody say, I'm ready to be used.
I'm ready to be used.
So when we use you, don't say, they're using me. They say, oh, they're using me again. Well, you want it to be used. Okay, so used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he had set, so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. Man, that's so comforting for me. So comforting to know that God had a plan for me. That there is something good ahead of us. So, we have to study to know the plan of God. You get to know the plan of God through the study of God's work on a regular basis. We need to study, listen, and learn the basic principles that are set out for us in the scriptures. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, study to show yourself to prove unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto us, unto more ungodliness, for their word will eat as does a canker or cancer, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is already past and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God's word stands true, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In other words, if you're living in sin habitually, that's what it means. If you made a habit of living in sin and now you don't even know you're living in sin, because sometimes that happens to people. They're doing things, they've done, okay, I don't get into trouble, so I'm okay. No, well, you need to talk to God about it. So you know what iniquity is? It means it's not just committing one sin, but you're living in it and you're just, it's normal now. Because you become so seared, the Bible says you're going to become so seared, hardened to the fact that you're sinning now. Your conscience doesn't bother you now because you made it normal. That's what happens. But in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and earth, and some honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself, now people are asking, God, take this away. No, God's telling you to get rid of it. You change it. I remember a long time ago, I know some of you might relate to this. I used to get mad, throw my cigarettes away. God, take this away from me. God, take this away from me. Well, he never did take it away from me until I gave it up. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel to honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared for every work. Now, the reason why some people haven't gone into the where you're supposed to go is because they haven't prepared themselves for the next phase, for the will of God. preparing yourself. You need to prepare yourself. Some of you, say, let's just take this as common. People want to get married. Live like you are married right now. Live pure and holy and honest right now, and then you'll pretty sure find out somebody, God will bring somebody. Why would God bring you somebody when you're just acting so foolish now? Fooling around, lying, looking at pornography, and just doing whatever you want to do. Why would God send you a woman? I should say men. A man. Why would God send you a man? Why would he? I remember some of us who got the ministry, we said, okay, well, you know what? I messed up so many times. I just want to serve God. Have a pure mind. Just not even think about dating anyone. Not even get away from that. I guarantee you, if you do that, you'll find it wouldn't pretty fast. Next week, maybe. By the end of the weekend, you're married. Come to my office, Pastor, I want to get married. Okay, come on. Some people, we said that to me. Okay, I've had so many people in my office over the years say, okay, let's get married right now. What, right now? Yeah. You said you want to get married. Well, we got to do this. You got to have this much money. I said, you don't have to have that much money to get married. I got to have this kind of coat and this kind of ring. My wife and I, what is it, 6 months? How long did you make me wait? Okay, so it wasn't that long. We started dating, I think, at the end of May. October, we were just flying high. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I'll talk to you later. So some people, you understand this, some people are more in the plan of God than other people. When you look at somebody and you judge them, make sure you don't judge somebody that's in the more of the plan of God than you are. So why can't I have that? Why does he all? Well, hey, listen, get in the plan of God. Why are they always happy? How come I'm depressed? Get in the plan of God. Amen? So Acts 17 and 11 said, these men are more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word of God with all readiness, and they search the scriptures daily. The question, do you read the Bible every day? If they search the scriptures daily, then Bible reading, one-year Bible, is for you. So we're getting one-year Bibles. If you want one, you tell me, I'll get it for you. So my wife and I read the Bible every day, she turns her back, sometimes reads her own Bible, and I read mine. Sometimes we read together. Sometimes we do it as a family. There's no rule. We just read. So how do you determine the will of God? Let's close up here. First, there are two primary ways, as we said, to know the will of God. First of all, let's go to the Word of God and read the plan of God. Romans 12:1 says, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead to you, give your bodies to God because all that he's done for you. Let them be a living, a holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. The true way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person, changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. So when we change our mind, this is new living. When you change your mind, then you figure out, okay, you know what? All along I was thinking I was doing God's will, but this scripture, I'm putting this in my mind now. This can't be the will of God. All of a sudden you're changing your mind and your decisions are changing. Secondly, you'll need to become familiar with the Holy Spirit in your prayer life. He's your helper in prayer, can assist you to know, to find God's perfect plan for your life. The scripture says here in Romans 8:26 and 28, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we do not know what to pray, what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays with us, for us with groanings. The Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings. Groanings means inarticulate speech. That's a translation, inarticulate speech. That's tongues. You know, 1 Corinthians 14:14, I think it says, if I pray, the Amplified says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, the Holy Spirit within me prays, you know, the perfect will of God. So that's what the Amplified, I believe, says there. So, and the Father knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So can you see, the Holy Ghost, as you're praying the will of God in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost is praying the will of God. When you're praying in tongues, He's praying the will of God for your life as you're standing there. He's your advocate on the inside of you as you're praying in tongues. You know, you just say this, Father, I want to pray the will of God for my life today. I want to pray that you, this area of my life has given me trouble, so I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm trusting, I'm having faith that when I pray in tongues, Holy Spirit, according to that scripture, says, I'm praying the will of God. So you pray, oh, Ramakasata Karabishi, oh, Mabakaradish, and you pray. Just go ahead and pray in the Spirit. You keep praying in the Spirit. And that's what the scripture says. And there are more scriptures like this that tell us this. It said, the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good. See, some people quote this scripture without doing the rest of the things. They're in trouble, all right, and they got into trouble by making all kinds of decisions and keep doing the same thing over. But he said, oh, you know, God will turn, you know, God. Well, he's not going to turn it on if you don't do the other things. God, you know, I don't know if you heard this. People quote this all the time. I used to, and I didn't understand it myself. He says, everything, God makes everything work together for good. Not if you're doing the same thing. How could he? Because you're not cooperating with God. Don't be foolish. Understand, God wants you to pray in the Spirit. He wants you to pray in tongues. He wants you to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to trust Him. Trust Him to pray the perfect will. It says that, first of all, at the beginning of this verse of Scripture here, he said, you don't know how. You don't know what to pray about. He said, God, should I have this job? Or shouldn't I have this job? How's that going to help you? Over and over. He keeps saying the same thing over and over. Broken record. Should I marry her? Or should I marry him? Or her? Oh. That's the wrong way to say it. But should I marry him or her? Her or him? Oh, I'm getting in trouble here. So, we know that God causes everything to work together for good to those who love God. You know, loving God means doing His will, following His will. Jesus said, if you love me, look at this. He said, if you love me, you will do my will. You'll follow the word. You'll do what the word says. See, love is just not a feeling, it's an action, right? So, for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So when we pray in that spirit, in tongues, the purpose of God will be magnified in your life. So fellowship with Him. In Acts chapter 13, 1, the people, they were praying, the Holy Spirit said, hey, Barnabas, Saul, I'm calling you into the ministry. Barnabas. And he brought him into the ministry. He said he knew the call that they had. God knows your call. Let's go ahead and stand up. There's no, Bible says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for them who's loved Him. But the Holy Spirit is given to us that we might know, 1 Corinthians 2:6-8 and 13. I want to read you the scripture. 1 Corinthians, can you play me a tune? Here's what it says, 1 Corinthians 2:6-13 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. If you love God, if you're following His plan, it'll blow your mind what He has in store for you. That's what it says here. You can't even imagine. You could try to imagine. Try the best thing. In fact, Ephesians says it is beyond your imagination. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that a person's own spirit. No one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak the words given to us by the Spirit. That's he's talking about tongues there. Using words, Spirit's word, to experience spiritual truths. In the plan of God, there are no disasters. There's no mistakes. And God wants to turn this around for you. In conclusion, God wants all of us to know what His will is. He's provided ways for us to determine His will, His plan, and His purposes for each one of our lives. Sometimes we'll get more details as we take one step at a time. Sometimes it's just a general area, and then things will be revealed. He has already planned out everything for you right now so that you can enjoy life and serve out His plan and purposes. He's given us already two primary ways to find out what His plan is: His written word and the presence of His Holy Spirit within us. God has never planned anything bad for your life to happen. If anything bad happens in your life, it's maybe because you took the wrong road or you got into the Satan's will. The devil will work hard to get you out of the plan of God so that he can get a hold of you and keep you in, walking around in the wilderness. We can avoid all the troubles that the devil has planned for you if you would just give your life to Him, as we prayed earlier, to turn to Him. Father, we pray, as we prayed at the outset of this service, we pray that Your will be done for our lives. We pray that Your purpose and Your plan would be implemented right now. Whatever hardships that's going on in our lives, we want to be honest about it. We want to share that. If there's a difficulty in our lives, we want to go to someone spiritual who will help us overcome this personal difficulty, whatever it is. So, Father, we invite Holy Spirit now to help us to do what You want us to do, to avoid tragedy and unnecessary difficulty in our lives. So thank You for feeding me. Thank You for cleansing my mind, giving me empowerment to move on with You. Thank You for Your plan. Thank You for Your will and Your purposes. Thank You, Lord. Let's lift our hands in gratitude to God, because He has a plan for us. Let's go ahead and bless Him. Father, thank You so much for Your plan. Thank You for Your purpose. In the name of Jesus. Those of you that need to come to God, you can say, Lord God, I'm giving my life to You. I'm giving my heart to You. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He died for me. I believe He rose from the dead and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Because I believe that, I'm now born again, I'm saved, I'm Your child. If you've done that this morning, you're His child, and He has a great plan for you. Praise God. God bless every one of you. Have a wonderful afternoon. Amen.